Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by Lance Meadow, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. We're here with you on Giants.com, also on Twitter. So when this feed on Twitter ends, you can go to Giants.com and finish the show there. We have a guest coming on later on today at 12:45, our good buddy Dane Brugler, NFL draft scout. His draft guide just got released. We'll get his take on some of the things that have been going on in the NFL draft, rumors, news, and have a look at some of the players. And, you know, Lance, we've talked about a lot of the same guys at the top of the first round and stuff like that today. We're going to try to go a little bit of a different direction with Dane, touch on some players we haven't touched on yet, and maybe focus in a little bit more on day two rather than day one.
Well, he has some interesting opinions on even some of the star-studded players that we've delved into over the last few shows, so it'll be interesting to get his perspective. But, you know, he ranks every single position very thoroughly and very carefully, and I think there's certain players that maybe not a lot of others are very high on, but, you know, he could see maybe them sneaking into the later stages of the first round or even perhaps the early stages of the second round.
Obviously, always good to get a lot of people's different perspectives on it. People evaluate players differently, and frankly, Lance, is that way in front offices too. One GM and one scouting department might see a player as a first-round guy, another team might see him as a second- or third-round guy. That's the way it works in the NFL. There are different opinions. It's always good to get different looks at these players to really try to put that full picture together to figure out exactly what these players are going to be at the NFL level. Now, the Giants on Giants.com have updated their mock draft tracker. If you go to Giants.com/mock draft, you can kind of see it. They track 8 of the top mock drafters kind of out there.
Experts and so forth.
Exactly. And they update them as you guys put on new mock drafts. So we had a couple of new additions yesterday. And, you know, we've seen the same types of names, Lance, on this list over the course of the last month or so. We've seen Shaq Lawson. He's still there. He's still Todd McShay's pick for the Giants. Vernon Hargreaves is a player we've seen over the course of the year. That's still Bucky Brooks' selection on the mock draft. Though, actually, they need to update that, Dave. I believe Bucky Brooks just released a mock draft yesterday, so we'll have to update that. If I take a look, Bucky Brooks' newest Giants selection is now Ronnie Stanley. So that's another name that's been up there in terms of players being mocked to the Giants. Ezekiel Elliott is still the choice of one of the people that they track in terms of the mock drafts, Chris Burke from SI. But there are two new people that have been added to this list. Peter Schrager from Fox Sports. Previously, he had Darren Lee going to the Giants. Now, he had switched to a different linebacker that we've heard a lot about on this show and talked a lot about over the past couple of days, and that's Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, versatile linebacker who really can be put all across the board in terms of how your defense is structured. I know that they're very high on him in terms of the Georgia coaching staff selling him to a lot of NFL coaching staffs and so forth. I think the big question with him is, if you do bring him into your system, you know, where would you fit him in?
Sometimes what's his fit in the 4-3,
yeah,
right?
Correct. Could be so versatile that you don't know where to exactly squeeze him in. So I think that's the big question mark. But I think it goes without saying, you know, he showed based on what he did at Georgia, I mean, he can move side to side, you know, a lot of versatility there. The question is, as I mentioned, you know, for the NFL team that ultimately wants to bring him in, you know, where do you think his skill set suits your needs the best? That, I think, is the million-dollar question
and
right now.
That's one of the things we'll talk to Dane Brugler about. He is not as high on Floyd as some other people are, so I'm curious to see what his negatives are. And we're going to talk to somebody from Georgia tomorrow that watched Leonard Floyd while he was at Georgia. So you'll get your fill of Leonard Floyd talk over the next couple of days. I promise you that.
Well, and John, speaking of Brugler, and I'm curious to ask him this question, his exact quote, and I'm pretty much paraphrasing it, is he thinks Floyd is the best athlete in the draft. But with that being said, doesn't necessarily think that he's the best NFL player in the draft, which is an interesting take. So upside with respect to his athleticism, but can that translate over to an NFL football field? I think that was at least his take at this point.
Yeah, he was one of the best numbers guys at the combine in terms of edge rushers. He rushed the passer a lot as a 3-4 linebacker at Georgia. He moved inside a little bit too. So like you said, he played a lot of different positions. The production does not blow you away when you look at his production in college, but again, his combine numbers are great. People like his athleticism. Two other new people into the mix here, and Rob Rang was the first guy to mock this player to the Giants last week, but Mel Kiper did yesterday in his mock draft. With Ronnie Stanley off the board, they both are giving Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle from Michigan State, to the Giants. You heard a lot about Conklin yesterday from somebody that covers Michigan State. Go to thegiants.com, Big Blue Kickoff. You can click there, and you can look at yesterday's archive for some more details on Conklin. But, Lance, he's an offensive tackle. He's someone with a lot of size. He's more of a power player. Many believe he can eventually play left tackle, but he certainly has the power and strength to play on the right side as well.
Well, he's also an interesting story because he was not highly touted coming out of high school, John, and he really made a name for himself in the years that he played at Michigan State. I don't get too caught up, and I think we always bring up this conversation to the forefront when the draft approaches. If you're going to draft an offensive lineman in the first round, that player has to automatically be fit into the left tackle position, which is rare because even most top-notch left tackles in college, when they get to the NFL, you know, more often than not, they actually start out on the right side, and then they slowly transition to the left side. Eric Flowers, for example, was thrown to the left side only because Will Beatty got hurt.
Right.
If Will Beatty doesn't get hurt, there's probably a very good chance that he starts off on the right side. So injuries, to me, is the main reason why normally top-touted left tackles out of college start off on the left side. But more often than not, they start on the right side. They move their way to the left.
Right. I think the question you have for most of these players, then, is not whether or not they can step in and play left tackle right away. Do they have the athleticism to eventually develop into a very good left tackle? That's the question. Many people think Conklin does. Others don't. They think he's going to stay on the right side. But again, with Eric Flowers, who the Giants have said publicly they believe is their left tackle of the future, that's really not as big of a factor there. So as long as Conklin can play the right side, which seems to be the consensus here, more of a power player than a Ronnie Stanley, who's more of a finesse pass protector type of player on the left side, that should be a plug-in starter for the Giants if they ended up going with the Conklin, say, at pick number 10.
Well, and he could also provide some backup play to the left tackle position, too, which doesn't necessarily hurt. But I think that he could probably come in day one and be a starting right tackle on this team as well as most teams in the National Football League, given what the Giants right now are looking at in terms of their depth chart. And, you know, if they feel that that's the best value, then obviously it makes sense. If they feel that somebody else is still on the board who has a little bit more value, as the Giants front office has said time and time again, then perhaps, obviously, they'll go in a different direction.
And by the way, our guest Dan Brugler at 1245 has had Ronnie Stanley from March 14th through March 28th as his selection for the Giants at 10. He has not put out his mock draft this week, so maybe we can get a little preview from him. And again,
exclusive.
He's been working hard on his draft guide, so I'm sure he hasn't had time to do a lot of these mock drafts for CBS. And you can find his work there. We're going to say goodbye to the folks on Twitter. Again, go to Giants.com to watch the remainder of the show of Dane Brugler at 1245. Thank you for joining us. For those with us on Giants.com, now it's time to take your calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. But before we do, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. How could you forget? We remind you so often. The daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code contact to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play, loaded phones. Here we go. Stephanie in West Virginia is up next. Stephanie, how's it going?
What's going on, guys? It's been a while since that called in.
Hi, of Stephanie.
Of course, I'm going to discuss the draft.
Sure.
And the possibilities at 10 are endless. Now, all this stuff that I'm hearing from the Big Blue Nation, NYG Nation, come out trading out of town, go up. I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. First of all, I'm with you, John. I think I'm with you on the Darren Lee bandwagon. I've been with Darren Lee from day one. I'm also huge on Shaq Lawson. The only offensive player that I want in round one is Ezekiel Elliott, if he falls. I'm not opposed to taking Jack Conklin. You know, or we can get Taylor Decker in round two, who I think is the most complete offensive lineman.
You know, Stephanie, I don't think Taylor Decker is going to last there. I think he might be gone in the 20s, to be honest with you. I would love to get him in round two if he's there, but I don't
think
he's going to be there.
Too. I agree with you. I think so, too. But don't sleep on this dude. He's Jermaine Ifedi from Texas A&M. He's a good run blocker as well.
Fast riser on the boards. People really like him.
All these folks that's looking at Ronnie Stanley, all they got to do is see Clemson versus Notre Dame. or Notre Dame versus Ohio State.
Ronnie Stanley's a good player, though, Stephanie. Don't downplay how good of a player Ronnie Stanley is. That guy can play, and he is a future left tackle in the league.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Miles Jack, right?
Okay.
I mean, I'm not opposed to the Giants taking Miles Jack, but when I think of our defense, I think about scheme and system fit. If you're the Seattle Seahawks or the Carolina Panthers, a Miles Jack would be perfect to fit your scheme. Which gives me back to Shaq Lawson. I don't know why Giants fans are so against Shaq. Shaq Lawson is the perfect defensive end fit for what we do.
Why don't you think Miles Jack fits the Giants' defensive scheme? To me, you could plug him in at weak side linebacker, or you could plug him in at middle linebacker, Steffi, and I think he'd be a great player.
Yeah, I'm not saying he won't. And, you know, he got a lot of wiggle to him, too. You know, he's one of those players. He's one of those X-Factor type players that you maximize his strength. You don't want to just use him in one dimension. Now, that being said, the meat in this draft in rounds 3 and 4, you know, people get so gung up on the first round and the second round. The meat is in the third and fourth round. And the safety I want, you know, Jalen Ramsey going in the top five. He'd probably be the 1 or 2 number one.
Yeah.
I would like Von Bell from Ohio State. If we can't get Von Bell, I would like Jeremy Cash. The biggest issue with the Giants last year, we could not rush the passer, and we couldn't get a run game. And those issues are the things that need to be addressed. Now, don't sleep on Shaheed Calhoun from Michigan State. He's a good pass rusher. He molded himself after Justin Tuck. I think we need to get at least 2 more pass rushers, a safety, a wide receiver. My number one receiver to me is Josh Doxson, but don't sleep on the running Wilson. I like Cheryl Cooper, too. And I think we should do trade business with New England. I think if we trade Rashad Jennings and Andre Webb and get one of their picks, and we should draft Kenneth Dixon.
Stephanie, I don't think the Patriots are in the business of trying to get rid of draft picks, considering they lost their first round pick this year due to punishment, and they just acquired a second rounder. So I say that highly unlikely that they'd be willing to part ways with a draft pick this year.
Well, I just use them as an example. A team that got like 10 or 11 picks or more.
Well,
anyway,
I mean,
that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, Stephanie.
With anybody, one of those players at the 10th pick. Ronnie Stanley, oh, hell no. But Jack Lawson beat your Elliott. Oh, Cochran.
All right, Stephanie.
All right, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. In terms of
she was rattling off a lot of middle round players there. Very impressed. Good job, Stephanie.
Well, in terms of the safety position, though, remember, you know, they still have a young nucleus of players at that position.
And
so,
I don't see Von Bell being there on picks 3 and 4 either, round 3 or 4.
You wonder whether or not that's going to be a huge target position in this year's draft, given the fact that they expect some of these young guys to get healthy and step up this year.
Remember this, though. Where were all those guys drafted?
Well, a lot of them were late rounders. Yeah. But once again, you know, do you then want to – a number of the safeties that were thrown out could be very well late rounders too, or mid rounders.
It could be. That's
so,
true.
You know, if you
That's
already true. Have them on the roster, is it really going to add much in terms of adding another fifth round safety?
Way. If you're there in the third round, though, and you see a safety that you believe can come in and start for you right away – now, this is a theoretical thing I'm talking about. That player might not very well exist when the Giants pick in the third round. I wouldn't take that position off my list.
No, I would always consider everything because
right.
somebody could fall. I just think – perhaps going in, you still feel as if you got enough youth at that position where maybe it's not necessarily priority number one, unless somebody who you have through the roof in terms of value, like you said, winds up falling down to you in maybe the third or the fourth round.
All right, let's go to Richie in Long Island. He's up next. Richie, what's up, Pip? What's happening, pal?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Richie.
I just wanted to get a little clarity. What was the rule change on the injured reserve that happened recently? It was like kind of confusing to me. I didn't really understand it.
Well, all it means is that you don't have to tab somebody immediately. You can wait and see until you want to designate a player.
Yeah, Ms. Rich, last year when they made this rule for the player designated to return, you had to – when you put that guy on IR, when you put him on there, you had to designate him for return.
Yeah.
So before you even knew if he could come back in 10 weeks, you would have to say this is the one guy that we're reserving the right to bring back. This way, let's say the Giants have to put four players on IR in August, okay? Come November, if one of them has had a miraculous recovery, they can say, you know what? We're designating this guy our guy to return, and they can pick from the list of guys that are on IR. They don't have to designate that player as soon as they do, in fact, IR him.
You can monitor the progress of rehab and how they recover from an injury. So you have a little bit more flexibility right now. For example, Double O, if you recall last season, he was the player designated to return, but he was given that designation when he was immediately put on IR. Now you could put him on IR 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks later, now all of a sudden he's ready to go. Now you designate him to return. So you buy yourself a little bit more time to monitor an injury right now.
Okay, all right, thanks for explaining that.
Sure.
And as far as with the draft, when it comes to the linebackers, is it, like, fair to say at this point where, all right, we haven't picked one since 1984, we're not going to pick one, like, at all?
That's what Lance says.
Well, I always reference the fact that track record-wise, they have not taken a linebacker since Carl Banks, who you just touched on. So, you know, that doesn't mean that that drought and that track record is going to continue this year, but based on the percentages, I always reference that because it is enough of a trend to say, hey, maybe that's not necessarily going to be broken this year.
Yeah, and also some people are, like, really in love with Miles Jack, and as far as I can see, you know, it's a very good likelihood that he could fall to the Cowboys, and if he is as good as he says he is, everybody says he is, I'm not looking forward to playing him two times every year, middle linebacker position for the Cowboys or even the Eagles if he goes that far.
Well, I mean, listen, I understand that, and I think he's a very talented player, but you can't blame the Giants for that. I mean, if a team picks in front of you, hey, that's just how the draft works. And you can't all of a sudden adopt a draft philosophy. And I know a lot of people are saying about moving up. You can't say, oh, well, we're going to move up just for the sake of preventing a player from going to our division rival. What happens if that player gets hurt? What happens if that player doesn't nearly have enough upside? To me, you're going out of your way to draft a player for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and what's usually the consensus of, like, what's the – after Miles Jack, who's usually, like, the ones that are saying that's the next in line? Is it the guy from Ohio State?
Darren Lee.
Lee, and then Ragland, who's is Lee higher rated than Ragland is?
It depends on the board you look at. I've seen Lee. I would say consensus Lee is probably ranked a little bit higher than Reggie Ragland. Leonard Floyd, if you consider him a linebacker, is in that list. Then you get into the Sua Cravens out of USC, the Deion Jones is out of LSU. You go a little deeper, you get to Scooby Wright. You know, guys like that.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Thank you for taking my call.
You got
it. Appreciate
it. Thanks for taking the call.
201-939-4513. Get on board. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also monitor hashtag Giants Chat. See if anything pops up there on Twitter that we can chat about. Let's go out to Denmark, Dave. I don't want to have holding on that long. I'm sure the long distance bill was killing him. And go to Jason out there in Denmark. Jason, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great, Jason. What's up? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I normally do call, but as of late, I've just been listening a lot.
That's cool.
Understandable.
But, my question today is not necessarily on the draft.
Okay, what do you got?
Out of all the position coaches, because we just went through, you know, I watched all the videos of each position coach talking about what they want to do and so on.
Yeah.
Who do you think, out of all the position coaches, will have the most success, and who will have trouble getting success?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to predict the fact. It's hard for me to really judge these guys when I haven't seen them, you know, really do anything yet, you know, before they got here up close. So I'm not going to predict anybody's going to fail, Jason. The way I'll answer your question is this. The guys that I think it's most important for them to succeed, I think Dave Merritt, who is one of the incumbents, I think it's very important for him to do a very good job of developing those young safeties. I think it's very important for the offensive line coach, Mike Solari, to continue to develop Eric Flowers and, you know, figure out that chemistry on the right side of the offensive line. If I had to pick out two guys, I think those are the guys that I would focus on the most in terms of guys that I really want to, you know, get things together. And then, of course, you have to worry about the defensive line, too. Patrick Graham has a lot of talent to work with.
Right.
But you really want him to figure out a way to utilize all that talent to the best of their ability and get them on the field to get production.
And do you think that, I don't want to use the word headhunting, but we're kind of past and we're going to give Coach McAdoo his time to try to grow. We love if he has success right away. Don't get me wrong, but if he doesn't, not necessarily saying axing him, but heads won't roll as they've been the last couple of years.
Well, I think you got to go back to the track record of the franchise, Jason. And, you know, I mean, if you look at how many coaches they've had over at least the last 20-some-odd years or so forth, I mean, they usually preach patience with their coach. He's a young up-and-coming. You heard management in the front office talk about how they like his energy, they like his game plan. So, I mean, I don't think there's any other reason to believe that he won't be given a little bit more leeway,
I mean,
considering he just took over.
Five coaches in the last 30-plus years, Parcells, Reeves, Fossil, Coughlin, and then McAdoo.
So, you know, I mean, you go based on that.
Well,
it's not like there's been a lot of turnover.
Let me put it this way. If McAdoo is not here for at least 3 or 4 years, I think all of us would be super blown away, super-duper surprised.
Right, right. Well, that's all. The only thing I'll say about the draft is I agree with what you all have been saying. At 10, we're going to get somebody good. So I'm not going to go through the Miles Jack and the Shaq Lawsons and so on and so on and so on. I'm just happy we're at 10, and I'm sure we're going to get somebody good.
Absolutely.
So go Big Blue.
Yep. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Jason. And stay safe out there in Denmark. A lot of stuff going on in Europe right now. So be good out there, and thanks for joining us. Always like getting the people from over the Atlantic.
Yeah. Well, we usually get a number of faces and voices from overseas. We got a few people. We've expanded here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, our reach.
201-939-4513. I'm surprised we haven't gotten any of Poldatino's paisans from Italy. We don't get a lot of Italy calls.
No, I don't think we have reached.
We've gotten Germany. Yes. We've gotten Denmark. We've gotten Amsterdam. We've gotten Ireland. We've gotten England. We've gotten Scotland.
South America, too.
We've gotten South America. We've gotten Korea. We've gotten Middle East, I think, too, from servicemen that are out there.
Right. I think Korea we also got from servicemen, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got it. So I think we have either I don't remember if it was Hong Kong or Taiwan. It was one of those two we got once, but I think it was Hong Kong.
We're going to have to put a map here on the board and start.
And put the little thumbtacks?
That's actually
a really good idea.
That's what I think we should do.
You can put a map of the United States and a thumbtack for each state.
And then every time somebody calls from that area.
And then you can go the globe, too.
Exactly. I think that's something you should work on. That's your project for the next few weeks.
Why is that my project?
Well, I mean, you're the one that would have to approve where to put it up on
the
board.
That's a fair point. You know? We're actually short only two continents. We've gotten every continent. We have not gotten Africa, and we have not gotten, obviously, Antarctica.
So there you go. There's your plea to America as well as abroad to try to get somebody to call in.
201-939-4513. Abdul in Minneapolis. He's up next. Abdul, what's happening?
And we've heard from Abdul before.
Yes,
that's
we have.
That's not necessarily a surprise.
What's up, buddy?
Well, I'm from Africa. Does that count?
No, it doesn't. Sorry, bud.
No exceptions here on this program.
And also, you guys forgot Ray Hanley there, the coach.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I did forget about Ray Hanley, so that's six. You're absolutely right. My fault.
Yeah. So, I have a couple of questions and points. First of all, I understand we have a couple more weeks left before the draft, but I was hoping that the Giants would fill more holes with free agency. So at 10, we would have more of a getting the best player instead of having and kind of taking need out of the equation. Because sometimes when you have need in there, you might skip over the best player, you know, to fill a hole. And I'd rather at 10 to get the best player and let the chips fall as they may.
Okay.
You know,
so why not? I would still do that.
But sometimes you might need a cornerback or a tackle. And, you know, and say Elliott is the highest person on the board, right? But you have a cornerback and you have a tackle. You'd probably take a cornerback or a tackle over Elliott because of the need.
I would say it depends how far their grades are apart.
How the disparity is.
Yeah.
But I think based on the projections, Abdul, maybe Elliott's a little bit higher. But, you know, if you threw in a Stanley or you threw in a Hargraves, I could make the argument you're still getting the best value for that position, given the circumstances of where you select. So it's not as if, you know, if you bring in Hargraves or Stanley, oh, you're really reaching for the sake of need. You're still bringing in a top 10 value type of player under those circumstances.
I would say this, too, in terms of need, when fans talk about need. I would be very leery of drafting a player simply to fill a hole on your roster that you have currently. Because even some of the best players at these positions in the draft, when they come out their rookie year, quite frankly, in their first season, they're not that good. They struggle. They have problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very rare that a player in his rookie year comes out and is a better-than-average player at his position, unless it's an elite player, which hopefully you can get a 10. Odell Beckham was one of the guys that bucked that trend, obviously. But other guys have issues their rookie year. So I always say pick the best guy I'm not saying do it irregardless of position, irregardless of need. You know, you're not going to pick a quarterback, but you pick the guy you think is going to be the best player in 2 or 3 years, and you develop him and you get there. You don't draft a guy simply based on what the Giants need in 2016. If you do that, you're going to end up making a big mistake.
Well, and at the same time, and Abdul, we'll let you continue here. I also want to use an example because, you know, for everybody campaigning to get Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm not saying the Lions are the best example, but remember, Detroit selected a lot of wide receivers in consecutive years in that first round, John. And then look at what happened to the organization.
Carlos Rogers, Mike Williams.
So, I mean, there's a point where you have to realize, hey, we've got enough at that position. Yes, it's great to bring in the best player available, but, you know, we can only put so many wide receivers on the field at the same time. So I think there's examples of teams where they constantly think, hey, this is the best player available, best player available. You only could put about 3 or 4 wide receivers on the field. You can't put 25 guys on the field at once who play the same position. So you need to be cautious, Abdul, from that perspective as well.
Fair enough. And I wasn't campaigning for Elliott. I just threw him out there.
No, I understand. You know, and by the way, I'm sorry. And let me correct myself right there. Charles Rogers, not Carlos Rogers. And, of course, you also had Roy Williams in that mix as well.
Sure.
And then they wound up trading him, too.
Correct.
And second question is, how much money do we have to spend of our cap, and how much can we roll over for next year?
You can roll over whatever amount you have left. If the published reports are correct, I think you're looking at somewhere around 20, but I don't know what the Giants' books are. The Giants don't release that, but I think that's a decent ballpark you can use for whatever your example wants to be.
So we have to spend at least – I mean, up to $20 million, or I guess I'm not wording it right.
Well, no, but, you can spend up to that, or you could take that $20 million and roll it into next year's cap. So next year, let's say every other team is $150 million to spend, the Giants would have $170 million to spend because you're rolling that $20 million over.
Okay. All right, fair enough. All right, guys, thank you. I appreciate it, man. Take care.
Hey, Abdul, no problem.
Appreciate the call.
And again, rolling over cap's not a bad thing because that provides you then flexibility next year. If you see another free agent you really like, you go out and you get him. Or if you're extending a Justin Pugh, you're extending Odell Beckham. It's a little early for him.
JPP.
It's only his third year. Re-signing JPP is a good one. And, you know, you have money reserved for that as well. You don't spend money on guys you're not in love with. You save the money and you spend them for guys that you love.
Absolutely. And then you can always make tweaks in terms of restructuring contracts too, which we saw usually at the end of every season. But, I mean, I think the Giants, based on what they've done even in previous years, they have rolled over money before, and it hasn't necessarily hurt them. I mean, and I think most teams have followed that philosophy as well. It just gives you more flexibility. No point, especially at this point in free agency, if, you know, you're not overwhelmed by some of the talent out there, you don't just throw the money at them. You got to make some wise investments, or else you carry it over to next year.
Fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Dane Brugler joins us at 12:45 to talk draft. In the meantime, your calls. Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
I'm all right.
It sounds like you and your coffee this morning already, Shakes. You sound a little bit more awake.
Do I?
Or maybe not.
Well, I guess that fee call got me a little riled up a little bit.
Why is that?
Because the Shaq Lawson fever or whatever she has, you know, I'm not saying that Shaq Lawson is a bad player.
Because he's not.
But to me, he's a good player. He's going to be a good player in this league. But to me, I feel like he's more worth a late, like in the 20s, around 20, late first round, early second
round. To me, Shakes, if there's a critique of Lawson, I think this is it. I'm not sure how high his ceiling is. I know he's going to be a good player. I'm not sure he has the elite skills to be a 15-sack game-changing phenomenon. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And do you take something like that at 10?
I think it depends what else is there. You know, maybe you don't think anybody there at 10 can be a game-changing phenomenon.
And if that's the case, then you trade back and you get some of these guys. But you don't sit there and at 10 take somebody that you like about.
Whoa.
You know, to me, and I don't know if it's just me, but I kind of hold these top 10 picks on a pedestal.
Yeah, but Chase, how about this? And I'm sorry for interrupting. What if I told you Shaq Lawson would have Justin Tuck's career? Would you be fine taking him at 10?
Justin Tuck's career?
Yes. Because I think that's very possible.
You can't promise me that.
No, Shakes. I'm telling you. If you drafted Shaq Lawson, okay? Let's say in the theoretical world, the Giants drafted Shaq Lawson, and you go and you call into the show in 2025, and Lance has like two grandkids, all right? And would you be happy if you drafted Shaq Lawson at 10 and he had a career like Justin Tuck's?
I'll be satisfied.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'll be satisfied. But, you know, I still feel like at that number 10 spot, you should get a blue chip type of player.
That's fair.
Or at least close to it. And if you can't, maximize your situation and trade back and grab up another two because this draft is deep. So you do what you do and make some moves.
I think that's fair.
So that's my thing about it. That's my whole assumption about it. Just like people that's high on Will Jackson the third.
Yeah. Cornerback out of Houston.
I can't take him at 10. He's a great corner, but I don't know the level of competition that he faced and the wide receivers that he went across. They're not top level competition, and I don't know how he's going to do against top level competition.
Well, Shakes, let me ask you this. Who do you think is worth a pick at 10 then? That you think will be on the board?
It's tough to say who's going to be there, but I think somebody is going to be there, like Ronnie Stanley. These guys are blue chip guys. I would think that you should draft these guys at 10.
Do you like Conklin? Do you consider Conklin a blue chip guy?
No, he's not a blue chip guy. But I would say this: I wouldn't be mad at the draft pick of Conklin.
Okay,
because that's like you're grabbing up another starter for like 5-10 years on that line, which we definitely need. We've been trying to rebuild that line for like 5 years.
Well,
now,
but Jakes, in fairness though, Lawson could turn out to be that type of player too. I mean, you're saying Conklin may not be a starter day one. Lawson could be a guy where, you know, he's not going to step in day one, given what the defensive line looks like right now. But you know, as players leave via free agency, he may become that guy. So, I mean, I don't see that much of a difference in terms of the outlook for Conklin versus the outlook for Lawson at that position at number 10.
Shakes, would you consider Sheldon Rankins a blue chip player at 10?
No, he's in that next tier though.
He's close.
Yeah,
he's close.
Yeah.
How about
he's in that next tier?
Well, how about your boy Darren Lee?
Yes. Well,
now you're double thinking it.
You know, You know, he's right there. He's right there with the other guy you just mentioned.
Yeah, with Rankins. Yeah, I agree. Right, and to me, this is how I look at it, Chase, and I'd like to get your take. The guys that you run to the podium with the card and you say, you know what, we just committed a crime. Let's get the card in and get out of the building. All right? That's Tunsil, Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner. To me, those are the five position players that you're looking at, that if they're on the board, you run to the podium and you run out like you just committed a crime. And
I think you have to add Hargraves to that list, Ryan Hargraves.
You know what? See, I put Hargraves and Stanley in that next group. I'm thrilled, and I still run the pickup. I don't run out of the building afterwards, though.
Okay, I get what you're saying. They those special guys that you're talking about, those five guys.
Correct.
The other guys, to me, is blue chip guys as well, like the Stanley, the Hargraves.
Yep.
It's a couple other people, but yeah. I wanted to say this though.
Elliot too.
You know, yeah, Elliot too. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Another blue chip guy that's in that range with Stanley. And
correct.
But I wanted to say this though. You know, I came on this show and said, and I'm gonna take that off the air after this, but I said in the past that I think the best option is to move back, you know, and to grab up some more picks because we got a lot of holes and it's a deep draft, so you can fill a lot out. But I think that we're in a position in this draft that no matter what we do, we're going to be good. Even if you trade up, we're going to be good.
Hey, so for it's hard to screw up the 10th pick.
Yeah. What was that?
I said it's hard to screw up when you're picking 10th.
Exactly. But you know, I hear people like, no, you can't trade up, you can't do that. I don't think that's a bad situation or out of the realm because we got so many holes.
It depends what you're giving up.
I was just going to say that.
Holes, but
depends what you got to sacrifice.
And I'm sorry to cut anybody off, but if you can get a guy like Ramsey, you know what I'm saying, a guy like that for trading up, now I'm opposed to giving up two first rounds, though. That's where I draw the line. But if you can move up and get a Ramsey, I say do it. So that's my whole assumption about it. I don't think that anything that we do is a bad thing. That's what my assumption on this draft. And thanks for taking my call, y'all.
Hey, thanks for calling it, Chase. Great to hear from you, pal. Always love to talk to Chase.
It'd be interesting under that hypothetical whether or not the Giants would make trades in consecutive years to move up to grab a safety.
I'm not trading my number one pick from next year.
No, neither am I.
Now he said you only trade two first-round picks. Maybe he means this year's one and next year's one. Well, hate to tell you, that's probably going to be the cost if you're moving up. And I think Ramsey's a top – he used Ramsey as an example. If you're moving into the top three or four, and trust me, from what I understand, Jalen Ramsey is not getting by Dallas at number four. If he somehow slips by San Diego and Tennessee, the Cowboys are in love with the guy. They might pick him – if they were picking first overall, they might pick Ramsey in this draft. That's how much they love him down there. But, I mean, 2-2s is not going to get that done. They're going to want next year's one if they're moving up, you know, 7-8 spots.
I just think you can still get a quality player at 10, so it's not worth it.
I mean,
why part ways with some other assets that you could utilize from this year's draft just for, you know, moving up a few spots, especially since you know you're going to get something at 10.
And obviously you're hoping you're not drafting down here again next year, but, you know, God forbid next year, you trade a top 15 pick and you trade a top 10 pick this year to get one guy. And then I said this before. You know, what happens if, you know, a couple years ago we had fans calling up saying, oh, we want to trade up and get Dante Fowler. He's the true 4-3 edge rusher. Let's bring in Dante Fowler. I love Dante Fowler. I thought he was going to be – I still think he's going to be a great player. First training camp practice, the guy pops his leg.
Yep.
Pops his AC – or he was Achilles, I think, if I'm
Achilles,
mistaken,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you got two first-round picks traded and you have zero to show for it. There's just too much – you know, people call these guys sure things and blue chippers or whatever. There's still a level of risk with every single player.
I was
going
to say nobody's a sure thing until they get into the league for a few years.
Right.
Then you feel content with them. Nobody.
Absolutely.
I mean, labeling guys as blue chip prospects, I mean, what does that mean? All that means is on paper you think that, you know, they have some upside.
Well, right. Let's say you think Jalen Ramsey has a 90% chance of being a great player. And just for an example, let's say you think Darren Lee has a 75% chance of being a great player. Yeah, there's a 15% difference there, but there's still a 10% chance that, for whatever reason, Jalen Ramsey's not going to work out.
Well, and there's a chance that they get hurt and they don't even stay on the field.
Hell, look, 3 years ago, Odell Beckham turned out to be the best receiver in the class. He was the third receiver taken after Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans.
Yeah, and then there's examples of fifth-rounders and undrafted players that also have wowed people.
How many fans wanted to trade up for Mike Evans at you? Do you remember that year we took all those calls? Do you know how many fans lined up wanting to trade up for Mike Evans? Well, were you happy with Beckham where you got him? I think you were probably pretty happy.
But that year also, it goes deeper than those three, too, John.
Right.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry was in that class. There were a lot of quality wide receivers that went in that year's draft. So, I mean, if you walked away with a second-round wide receiver, you'd still be content.
The only way that I'm usually in favor of trading up, in all honesty, is that if you're in dire need of a franchise quarterback,
there's
a guy that you honestly believe is that guy, they come around so rarely, and you think you can get that guy, you go and you do it.
It's worth doing that under those circumstances.
That's
However,
the only position for me that I do it.
There's always the examples, though, where, you know, you think you got the guy, and then it doesn't necessarily work out, too.
Absolutely.
For example, you know, with Redskins and RG3.
But I think the potential benefit to that is so high, I'm more willing to take the risk.
Well, because of the importance of that position.
Exactly.
Without a doubt. I don't necessarily disagree with that sentiment, but that's only a very rare circumstance
correct.
Where I'm giving up everything I own to move up.
Correct. Dane Brugler, NFLDraftScout.com, with us in a minute or two. For now, Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, you'll take us up until our guest. What's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing
Great
today?
To hear from you, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And I'm just there's a lot of Giants fans out there talking up this kid the linebacker from Georgia there.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd.
To me, am I wrong in thinking that this guy is one of those tweener types that we've never had any success with over the years? Or you guys see him differently than I do.
I think Lance likes him more than I do, so I want to see his. I want to see him talk about
Did
him.
Did I say that?
No, that's my sense hearing you talk about him. I agree with you. I'm not sure where he fits in a 4-3, Jeff, and I'm going to do a lot of work on him in the next couple of days and hear the two interviews on the show and figure out where he fits. But, no, I don't think he's a 4-3 defensive end. If you put him at linebacker, I think he plays the same position as Devon Kennard. At 6'6", 240, that's a weird body type. You don't see that very often for linebackers in the NFL. So, no, I don't know where he would fit in. Does he have great upside and physical talent? Sure. I just don't know where I use him. Lance, I'd love to get
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what I said earlier in the program. I'm very interested in him. I think he's an intriguing player because, you know, any coach would probably say, you look at him on film and you're like, oh, I could use him here. I could put him here. When I run a blitz, I can move him to this spot. That's what I like about him. But, you know, whether or not that all translates and works out, you know, that's a big question. So I'm sort of, you know, in between on my take on him. I mean, I do like his versatility, and I like players who you can put into various different positions. I don't want to say he's similar to this player, but it reminds me of the conversation Shaq Thompson last year when we were talking about with him. And,
yeah, he
you know,
more bounced between safety and linebacker than
linebacker and DN. But I was always saying to myself, intriguing because I like guys who I can maybe move back and forth to different positions. However, you know, what happens if the versatility you saw on the college football field doesn't necessarily translate
There's a risk.
To the X's and O's. So that's why, you know, I think right now the balancing scale is going up and down every single day
and Jeff,
in terms of where you squeeze him in.
Yeah. Jeff, to me, he reminds me of Mathias Kiwanuka. If I was to pick a guy that he reminds me of that's been with the Giants, it's Kiwi, a guy that, you know, has defensive end skills, but is he a full-time defensive end? I'm not sure. If you put him in a linebacker, is it going to work? I'm not
and
sure.
And is he comfortable there, too?
Yeah,
those
exactly. I mean, I think those
Kiwi.
Are all questions that, you know, we need to figure out.
Yeah, I think – I don't think he is a number 10 value myself, so I'm going to pass on him. And one other question quickly, what are they what do the Giants hope to achieve next week with the OTA starting, other than assigning these guys their locker spaces?
Well, you know, you have a new strength and conditioning coach, so you get him into the new strength and conditioning program. Get him working in that, Jeff. You get him used to whatever the new schedule is Ben McAdoo is going to have. I'm sure as much as he'll pull from Tom Coughlin, I'm sure he's also going to pull from what he did with Mike McCarthy and the coaches he's been with in the past. So I'm sure there'll be some different elements that some of the players that are returning aren't used to, and they'll kind of, you know, get into meetings with their new position coaches for the first time, get to know them a little bit. Basically, the first 2 weeks, which is phase one, it might even be 3 weeks. I got to look. I'm not sure how long it is. It's get to know the coaches. It's get to know the program and start getting into shapes. When you start doing on-field work, you're not getting hurt.
Okay, so the Giants have one additional week because
they have a new
head coach
Correct.
This season, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, then, guys, thank you. I'll be watching every day, as I usually do. Have a good day.
Thank you,
Jeff.
You too. Appreciate it. And now we go to our guest line. We welcome in Dane Brugler, NFLDraftScout.com. He also just published his fantastic draft guide, which I get every year, and I have it here in front of me, Dane. I'm holding it up for the viewers at home. Dane, thanks for joining us always. We appreciate the time. How's everything with you?
Well, it's good. It's good to get that thing out. That's definitely my pride and joy, so I'm glad you picked up a copy.
Oh, we love it. Why don't you tell people out there before we get going with the information, Dane, if they want to buy a copy of your draft guide, how do they do it?
Just go to my Twitter, at DP Brugler. I have it pinned at the top of my timeline, the link to pick it up. It's only $7. I made sure, you know, the boss has told me I need to sell this for at least 20. There's 450 prospect reports in here. I go detailed on each one of them, but you know, I want to keep it, you know, affordable for everyone. You know, more people that can get their eyes on that, on this thing, you know, the better. So go check it out. The feedback so far has been tremendous.
Well, I could tell you, I've been reading it the last couple of days, and of course, Dane, part of NFLDraftScout.com. You can also see his work on CBSSports.com. His mock draft is up there now, and we'll get to predictions later on in the interview, Dane. I know how much fun those are for you, 3 weeks before the draft even gets here. But the guy I want to start with first is Leonard Floyd. It's a guy that's kind of picked up steam for the Giants at number 10. I'm having trouble getting a handle on the player. I know Georgia used him in a bunch of different spots, 3-4 outside linebacker. They moved him inside. I read he can move in space. I read he's a good pass rusher. Where do you think a guy like Leonard Floyd fits in a 4-3 defense?
That's an interesting question because I think there could be multiple answers depending on you know, how the team view Leonard Floyd, because ideally you want him standing up in space in a 3-4 edge rusher. I'm not sure. Can he put his hand on the ground and be a consistent edge threat? I'm not sold. He reminds me a lot of Barkevious Mingo coming out. You know, he's a little leaner than you want. Doesn't really have a power element, but he's a terrific athlete. The get-off quickness, the flexibility, the way he can bend around the edge. I gave him a second or third round grade. He's going to go much higher than that, probably somewhere in the top 20 pick. But, you know, we know pass rush is at a premium. And so for a guy like Leonard Floyd, he's a lottery ticket. You know, he might pay off, he might not. But at what point do you feel comfortable drafting a guy like that? Leonard Floyd, definitely one of the wild cards of the first round.
Well, Dan, it's interesting some of the sentences that you just pointed out, because when you wrote in your book, and this is the line that jumped out to me, he's arguably perhaps the best athlete in this entire draft class, yet he may not be one of the best football players. Does that mean that also perhaps there's some concerns in the classroom from an X's and O's standpoint, or from what you're alluding to, is this just pure physicality that's in question?
Well, no, and you also have to, you know, look at his instincts. They're still in the development phase. The way he uses his hands, he doesn't have a firm grasp on how to do that. He's not a polished player at this point. And he's also a little bit of an older player. He came out as a junior, but he'll be a 24-year-old NFL rookie. So I think that has to factor in as well. But, you know, you were right about the way Georgia used him, because, you know, Georgia ran that 3-4, a little bit of a hybrid-based defense, but they, you know, lined him up at the middle linebacker spot. They used him as a jack, as a pass rusher outside. You know, the star hybrid position. They moved them all over, so I'm not sure he was able to stay in one spot long enough to get a firm grasp on those responsibilities. So a player who has a lot of talent, but, you know, you're taking a big risk when you're drafting him in the first round. Could it pay off? Sure, it could. He has that athleticism, but again, a very unpolished player at this point.
Final one for me on Floyd, Dan, real quick. So I guess on third down, theoretically, you can put him down and have him rush the passer for you on passing downs. First and second down, a 4-3 defense. You say he can move in space, great athlete, run around, but he's 6'6". I don't see 6'6 guys playing weak side linebacker going sideline to sideline. Do you see him more as a Sam type of guy on first and second down, or do you see him more of a weak side guy that's going to want to run around?
Yeah, and again, I think that's a great question, because depending on, you know, the defense that you're trying to fit him into, you know, you can make a case for different spots. He's not an ideal, fit for either of those, but I think, you know, he does flash some strength in those areas where you think, okay, maybe he can do this, maybe he can do that. I'm really intrigued to see where Leonard Floyd ends up, because I do think, you know, he can stand up and play some Sam, he can stand up, play some weak side. But, you know, I have worries about him doing it consistently. And so I think whoever drafts him, you have to be creative on defense. You have to have a specific plan for him. You know, hopefully they don't draft him and just try to fit him in to whatever, you know, defense they're running. You have to be a little creative with Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, and the way I see it, at least from my perspective, Dan, I'd like to get your opinion on it as well. Darren Lee and Reggie Ragland are much easier guys to fit in and plug and play in a 4-3 defense. You're going to slide in Lee on the weak side, let him run around, cover, go sideline to sideline. Reggie Ragland, you're going to put in the middle, let him thump. You know, maybe he can carry a tight end down the seam. To me, those are much more logical fits and easy guys to place if you're drafting a 4-3 defensive player.
Yeah, no question. Especially Reggie Ragland. I think he might be, I hate using this word, but the safest player in this draft, because you know exactly what you're getting with him. He's a two-down thumper, a guy in the middle of the field who he's going to hit anything that's moving around. You know, there's some questions about what he can do on third down. Can he hold up in coverage consistently? But at least you know what you're getting with Reggie Ragland as a run defender on the first two downs. Then, yeah, Darren Lee, really intriguing player. He played quarterback in high school. He goes to Ohio State. They're not sure where to play him. They start him at safety, and then he was kind of the understudy to Ryan Shazier. Took over for him in that walkout linebacker role. Did a little bit of everything. You might see him lined up over the slot receiver. You see him blitzing off the edge, playing a little bit in the middle. Darren Lee did a little bit of everything at Ohio State, and so very promising player. And a guy who I think is still coming into his own. You know, he has a large football ceiling, and he's not even close to it yet.
In terms of the defensive line, I remember last year, Dane, the big part of the conversation was there's so many tweeners, you know, whether or not they're true defensive ends. Do we have them standing up in a 3-4 and so forth? You know, Noah Spence is an interesting player given what he did at Ohio State, given what he did at Eastern Kentucky, but obviously there's off-the-field concerns. How much of a risk is Noah Spence, putting aside perhaps his upside?
Yeah, he's one of the true wild cards of this year's draft, this year's first round. He is probably the best pure pass rusher in this group. You look what he can do at 6'2 and a half, 251 pounds, decent arm length. He's not the biggest guy, but he understands how to break down the rhythm of blockers using his hands, using his quickness. He can cross the face. He can get around, bend the edge, close to the pocket. So I think Noah Spence is the best pure pass rusher, but you have to factor in, obviously, the off-field. And you have to factor in also on the field, holding up against the run. And I think that's why Noah Spence is a much better fit for a 3-4 than a 4-3. Mm. Give him a little bit of space. Let him manipulate that space off the edge. Because when you put his hand on the ground, I think it's too easy for edge blockers to control him in the run game. I think offenses will find out quickly they can run to his side of the field. But whenever you talk about Noah Spence, you have to factor in the off-field. Obviously left Ohio State because of some drug issues. But I do give Noah Spence credit. Instead of just bolting to the NFL, he went down a level to the FCS, Eastern Kentucky, and he told those coaches, hey, drug test me every day. And Noah Spence has, stayed out of trouble. He hasn't failed a drug test over the last year. And so you have to be encouraged by that. But at what point, where is Noah Spence's value? At what point do you trust him? And that's really why he's a wild card. I think we're going to see him, some of the top 20, top 25, possibly as early as, 10, somewhere in the top 12 picks, because he does bring pass rush value. Like I said, probably the best pure pass rusher in this class.
Dane, I want to drop to the second and third round here. The wide receiver class, maybe not that heavy at the top, though I know you like Laquon Treadwell an awful lot and more than a lot of other people. I'd like to get your opinion on why that's the case. You weren't really scared off by his 40 time. But after you give me your piece on Treadwell, who are your favorite receivers that'll be on the board in the second and third rounds that you think could be a good fit for the Giants opposite Odell Beckham Jr. and be more of an outside wide receiver than, say, a slot guy where the Giants hope they can kind of slide Victor Cruz back into?
Yeah, and for me, with Laquon Treadwell, the 4.6 340, it does not scare me. When you watch Treadwell on film, and say you just take a piece of paper and you start writing down his strength and the reason why you're so, you get so excited about Treadwell and what he can do, you didn't write down speed, because that's not how he wins. He wins with body control, with ball skills, his catch radius, his physicality. And this is a player who's only 20 years old. He doesn't turn 21 until June. So I think he's going to continue to grow and mature physically and continue to be a dominating presence. He reminds me a lot of a lesser dynamic version of Dez Bryant. I think that's the type of role he can fill in the NFL. To me, he's one of the top 10 players in this class. Now, he's not going to go that high. He'll probably be somewhere in the 15 to 25 range. But I think a team will get excellent value at that point. And then I think I love the wide receiver class this year. And like you said, we're not going to have those receivers come off the board early in this draft. We don't have the star power like last year with Amari Cooper. There's no Julio Jones, A.J. Green, those types of receivers. But I love the value in the second and third round this year at the receiver position. I think there's a lot of options, different ways teams can go. A few of my favorites, Rashad Higgins from Colorado State, the way he can get uncovered and give his quarterback a clean target, I think he'd be a perfect number two for a team like the Giants. Sterling Shepard from Oklahoma, I think he's better ideally suited for the slot, but he can also play on the outside. Farrell Cooper, same type of thing at South Carolina, reminds me a lot of a Randall Cobb type of prospect. And then Will Fuller, who he's going to go a lot higher than I have him. He's my number seven receiver, a second-round grade. But I think there's a good chance we see him come off somewhere in the top 25 because he's a burner. He can stretch the field. He can really stretch out defenses. And I think that's what's going to make Will Fuller a popular wide receiver on draft day.
Well, one other player that you have in that second to third round range is Braxton Miller. He's your 10th overall wide receiver, and everybody knows his story about moving from quarterback to one of the skill positions. I know that when you wrote up your recap on him, certainly there's the upside there, but there's a lot of questions in terms of the fundamentals. Where do you see his ceiling in terms of the NFL? Maybe it's not immediate, but, down the road, can he truly become that explosive player that would be a complement to, like, an Odell Beckham or somebody else?
I think possibly he could. Watching him at the Senior Bowl, standing right there on the sideline and watching him go through drills, he just has such a raw understanding of footwork and how to set up his routes. But you have to be encouraged by the ball skills for a player who – is used to carrying the ball his entire career at quarterback and, you know, rushing the ball. Just wasn't asked to catch the ball quite a bit or a lot in his career. But he showed that as a senior, showed it at the Senior Bowl. He has soft hands. He has the hand-eye coordination that you want. My biggest question with Braxton Miller is, can he stay healthy? He's been beat up quite a bit over his career. A couple of concussions, his shoulder injury. He's had a few other issues. And so, to me, you watch him on film, and he's escaping out of bounds. You watch him going over the middle, he's a little tentative. And I think that's one thing that he's going to have to really buy into to be a wide receiver in the NFL is you're going to take some hits. And, you can't be tentative at the catch point. You have to go up strong. And so, to me, that's the biggest thing that could take away from Braxton Miller becoming who he could be with all that athletic potential.
Dane, I don't think many would argue when we're joined by Dane Brugler, NFLDraftScout.com. We'll take him a couple minutes past one here. Sticking in the theme of rounds two and three here, day two picks, maybe even early day three pick, most people would say the deepest position of this draft is defensive line, probably a little bit more so defensive tackle than defensive end. But taking the defensive line as a whole, Dane, where do you think a team might go if they want to try to find a starter in rounds two or maybe even three or four?
Well, I think this is, like I said before, this is the draft to do it. We don't have the star power at the top, but second, third, fourth rounds, you're going to be able to find quality players who can at least contribute as rookies and then be long-term starters. A few of my favorites this year, Javon Hargrave from South Carolina State. He was a one-man wrecking crew down there at the FCS level. Went to the East-West Shrine game, performed well there, tested well. So I think Javon Hargrave is going to be if he's still there somewhere in the top 75 picks, he would make a lot of sense. And you can go throughout even the third and fourth rounds. DJ Reader, the nose tackle from Clemson, he can be a two-down. A stout nose tackle, Matt Ioannidis from Temple, another guy who you really don't expect much just by watching him, but he jumps off the film. He gets more out of his skill set than most guys that look and play like or have that athletic skill set. So I give Matt Ioannidis, I'm a true believer in what he can do, and I think third and fourth round, you're going to get good value there.
Now, one of the positions that the Giants may target in the draft is cornerback. And I know that, you're high on Mackenzie Alexander. He's your number one guy, Vernon Hargrave's number two. I'm curious about some of the maybe late second rounders, early third rounders. For example, a Kendall Fuller, given the fact that we know his family has produced a number of players on the defensive side of the ball. What's your take on Kendall Fuller and overall the depth at the cornerback position if instead of maybe going in round one, you maybe want to take a chance on a guy in the middle rounds or so?
Yeah, and Kendall Fuller is a player that is really unfortunate with his season. He had the knee injury in August. He tried to play through it, played the first three games of the year before he just kind of he realized, look, this isn't going to work out. I need to have the surgery now, and he was shelved for the rest of the year. And we still don't know for sure what's going on with that knee. The medical rechecks will be very important for Kendall Fuller to find out where he is on his rehab because he is a first-round talent. He's a good-sized player, 5'11 and a half, 190 pounds. He's not a speedster, but he understands coverage. He has the foot quickness. He knows how to bracket receivers and make plays at the catch point. Over his first two seasons, he had combined for 34 passes defended, and those types of numbers. I think that's we talk about sacks or pass rushers. Passes defended, that's the one stat that I feel really carries over and helps translate to tell you what defensive backs will do at the NFL level. So I think Kendall Fuller has that. But I think this cornerback class is a fairly strong group. We might not have Jalen Ramsey to me is more of a safety than a corner, so we might not have that true top 10 corner this year. But I think there's a lot of depth, a lot of value, third, fourth round, especially some smaller school guys. Ryan Smith from North Carolina Central, one of my favorite sleepers this year. He'll be available third, fourth round. Harlan Miller from Southeast Louisiana, same type of thing. And there's different types of corners. You want a slot corner, Cyrus Jones from Alabama. Maybe a bigger guy like a Maurice Kennedy from Virginia, Kavari Russell, Notre Dame. So definitely a lot of options, different flavors in this cornerback class.
All right, I want to stick on this same theme here, Dane, real quick. If the Giants don't get an offensive tackle in round one, you've had Ronnie Stanley in your mock drafts going to him over the past few weeks. Let's say they don't get Stanley. They decide not to take Conklin if he's still there. And they're sitting there on day two, maybe even in round four, and they say, you know what? We want to try to find a guy that can start a right tackle. We don't care if he has the footwork to eventually be a left tackle. We don't care about that. We just want a guy that we're going to be able to put at right tackle, leave him there. He's going to be a power guy. He's going to do a good job at right tackle. Who do you like on day two or three that could fit that bill?
I think Jermaine Ifedi from Texas A&M would really fit that bill because he's a guy that they tried to move to left tackle, but he just didn't feel comfortable there, and they moved him back to right tackle where he was most comfortable. That's where he started the past two seasons. I think with Ifedi, we talk about the lower body. It's exactly what you want. The feet, his movement skills, that's ready for the NFL immediately. But it's the upper body. It's the technique. That's why he's going to still be available probably in the second round. He still has some growing to do, some developing. But at that point in the draft, in the second round, Ifedi would make a lot of sense.
John threw out Ronnie Stanley, who obviously you've put to the Giants in a few mock drafts, and from reading over your take on him, it was interesting, Dane, where you said that you thought perhaps based on how teams value him, he may be viewed as being overdrafted in the top 10. I'm just curious if you could perhaps go into greater detail in what you meant behind that, and perhaps maybe if he's being valued a little too high because there are more question marks than actual solidification in terms of answers that he'll provide.
Yeah, Stanley is frustrating. I think he could be a guy that, for a general manager, gets you fired or gives you a raise, because he is a dancing bear. His natural athleticism is terrific for, a player that at that size. And so he could step in and really develop, but I worry about a little bit too much finesse to his game, some effort issues. And then just the technique. He needs to really develop in that area to reach his potential. So with guys that can move like Ronnie Stanley does and has that type of potential at offensive tackle, which we know all 32 teams need more help on the offensive line. So when you can move like Ronnie Stanley can, you're probably not going to make it out of the top 10. And I really don't think Ronnie Stanley will. But to me, that's overdrafting. I don't think he's one of the top 10 players in this draft. But I do think at some point in the first round he is worth it because, the physical traits are terrific. But, again, you worry about the finesse. You worry about a little bit too much, effort lapses, some mental issues going on. So I like Ronnie Stanley, just not sold on him being a top 10 player.
All right, so, Dane, I guess the last one for me at least. Giants at 10, I think we know the guys that are probably not going to be there, the Ramseys, the Boses, the Buckner is probably not going to be on the board. Tunsil's not going to be there. Miles Jack probably not going to be there. Who do you think the Giants will wind up, number one? And then if you are in the Giants' shoes, and I know this is going to be a different answer, who would you look to pick at number 10?
Yeah, and looking at the 10th pick this year, I think you're looking at the Darren Lees. You're looking at Shaq Lawson. Possibly he can even go the interior defensive line with a Sheldon Rankins. But for me personally, Ezekiel Elliott, running back from Ohio State, he's a special player. He can stay on the field all three downs. It brings value as a rusher, receiver, as a blocker. It's just hard to find weaknesses in his game. And I know a lot of people are anti-running back in the first round, especially the top 10. But what he can do, you plug him in, and you don't have to worry about the running back position. He's that type of talent. So for me, Ezekiel Elliott's still available at pick number 10, and that's where I would go.
Okay, and who do you think the Giants will pick at 10?
Right now I'm going to stick with Ronnie Stanley. I'm going to stick with the offensive tackle. Obviously, teams need offensive line help. Ronnie Stanley can do that. I know I beat up on him a few minutes ago, but he is a good player. I mean, he has those movement skills that you want, and it's not impossible that he's not going to develop. I still have him number 14 on my board, so I still think highly of him. I just have some question marks that I hope we can figure out once he gets in the training camp.
Dane, great stuff. Launch one more time. Tell the folks out there how to get your draft guide. It's a fantastic piece of material for those of you guys that want to get some more info on the draft. Tell us how, Dane.
Just check out my Twitter, @DPBrugler. I have the tweet pinned at the top. There's a link there. It's an automatic PDF download, so I appreciate everyone that's checking in now. The feedback so far has been tremendous.
Dane, great stuff. NFLDraftScout.com, CBS Sports, The Sports Exchange. Dane Brugler, fantastic job. We'll catch up with you as we get towards the end of April, Dane. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dane.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
That's Dane Brugler. Does a fantastic job. And some good information there, Lance. And it's good to get the varying opinions. Like, we talked to Kyle Krabs last week, and him and Dane disagree on guys, and they have different views of him. And, you know, Dane's much higher on Treadwell. He's not worried about the lack of separation. He thinks his, you know, hands and catch radius make up for all that. But they both really love Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, they do. Very high on Ezekiel Elliott. But it was interesting where he said, you know, that's where he would put Ezekiel Elliott with the Giants. At the same time, he said, based on need, though, offensive lineman perhaps makes a little bit more sense.
Well, that was his prediction.
Yeah, but he was also factoring need more when he went in the direction of who he thinks they're going to take.
Correct.
As opposed to who may be the best value in that spot.
And that's if Elliott's there. I guess he thinks Elliott will be there at 10 based on teams reticent to draft a running back top 10. I'm not so sure. I'm about 50-50 on whether or not he'll be there for the Giants at 10. I'm not positive.
I think there's a team, you know, for example, like the Philadelphia Eagles, who I could easily see grabbing Ezekiel Elliott. I think they have more of a need for a running back. I mean, I know Ryan Matthews is still on the team, but there's a chance they may ship him out of town. Makes a little bit more sense to plug him in year one with the Eagles than perhaps here with the Giants, given all the depth that they have at that position right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at it, I just don't see many other teams going for a running back. I mean, Tennessee's not doing it at one.
They just got DeMarco Murray.
Exactly. The Browns are obviously probably going to pick a quarterback. The Chargers just drafted Melvin Gordon. I don't think the Cowboys are going to pick a running back at four, despite everyone seeming to believe that. They just signed Alfred Morris.
They got Darren McFadden.
They have so many needs on defense. There's going to be a great defensive player there. I think they're going to go in that direction. The Jaguars just drafted T.J. Yeldon. The Ravens.
And they brought in Chris Ivory, too.
And Chris Ivory. The Ravens, I guess, I mean, they have Justin Forsett, who had a really good year a couple years ago. I know he was a little bit slower this year. But they had all sorts of quarterback issues there, too. You can't really go off this year. I don't see the Ravens picking a running back there.
They need help in defense.
Yeah, the 49ers, they have Carlos Hyde. They're not going to pick Ezekiel Elliott. Then you have the Bucks, who have Doug Martin at 9, and then the Eagles at 8. So I really think if Elliott's going to get picked, I'm with you. I think it would be Philadelphia, if anybody.
That, to me, makes the most
sense. Maybe Baltimore. That wouldn't shock me.
No, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, Baltimore, though, seems to be more of a defensive-minded first-round team, if you look at their track record. But
and there's going to be an elite defensive player left for them, whether it's Miles Jack or DeForest Buckner, when they pick at 6.
And they have taken some of these Alabama linebackers in the past. It would not surprise me if maybe they're eyeing like a Reggie Ragland.
A little early for him.
I think it is a little early, but I'm just saying, given their ties to that institution, would not surprise me.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, great job. It'll be me and Dottino tomorrow. We'll have somebody on from Georgia. We'll get some more information on Leonard Floyd, which I think it's an interesting guy to talk about because he really is an enigma, I think, in figuring out where he's going to fit. So we'll get more on him. Then next week we'll continue with some of our college guests. I think we're going to try to get somebody on from Baylor next week, somebody on from Oregon to talk about DeForest Buckner. Baylor, of course, is Corey Coleman, Sean Oakman, as well as a couple other guys we can discuss from there. And we'll continue to kind of go through the guys that are around and that cover the draft and do all that. And we got 3 weeks now. The draft is 3 weeks from today. So you got 15 shows left until we get to draft day. We'll have it for you. The best coverage around. NFL announces, wow. And this is the change, because usually the preseason schedule isn't released until after the regular season schedule in May. But this year, they're moving it up. Say that again, Dave. Right. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So the Giants will announce their preseason opponents today at 4 o'clock. So you'll know who the Giants are playing, home and road. The only thing we know for sure is that they'll be playing the Jets on the road because they played the Jets at home last year.
Correct.
And you would think they're going to play the Patriots again
because
it's been that way for whatever, 15, 20
years. I put my money on them playing the Patriots in the last preseason game.
Correct. But the other two games, who knows? Remember, they traveled to Cincy, did the practices with them last year. Maybe they'll try to set something up with another team like that this year. I have no idea. So it'll be interesting to see what that is. It'll be announced at 4 o'clock, the Giants' preseason opponents. And then as you get closer, the teams will negotiate with each other in terms of day of the game, night of the game, and things like that. So that'll be detailed later. And, of course, the regular season schedule, I believe, is released the week before the draft, right? The Wednesday or Thursday?
Usually in late April.
The NFL Network has that hour special, and we can have fun with the with a little contest trying to predict what the Giants' schedule will be.
Yes,
as well.
Well, we know all the opponents. It's just a matter of the order at this point.
Correct. And you know you're going to London the week before Halloween.
Yes, that date has been etched in stone.
Was that the 24th, I think, the London game? 26th, 23rd? Something like that. Somewhere in that area. I don't remember the exact date. But it's the weekend before Halloween, and the Giants, of course, will have their bye the week after.
Week, yeah.
So you can – 23rd? I was right. It was the 23rd. So keep in mind, it'll be London the 23rd, then Halloween the week after. That's going to be the bye week. So there you go, folks. 4 o'clock. Stay tuned to Giants.com. We'll have the schedule. Thank you to Dane Brugler. Thank you to Lance Meadow. Me and Dottino tomorrow. Check it out. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Have a good one.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Got a little of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.